Amen. All right, we are starting a new series, and our new series is called Supernatural. Everybody say Supernatural. A life, the living a life of more. And so we're actually going to walk into this. We talked a lot last week about how you as a believer, we believe in the resurrection and the power of, we believe in that Jesus rose from the dead, and people made decisions for Christ last week. And now how do you actually walk that out? And how do we live a life of that God would have us to live, right? And so we're going to dive into this for the next several weeks. And as you know, these series go on and on and on forever. But this is one we're going to land on for a little bit, and we're going to talk about it. So just to give you some perspective, my sister and I, Lisa, we grew up in a church right down Bells Ferry, right down the street. I won't name what it was, but it was a church right down the street. And I was actually on their website just the other day. I was just kind of checking up and see what was going on with those guys. You know, I'll just name this. You know, Dorothy McCracken is still playing piano and key and like piano there and organ there. Like literally she was playing when we were kids. I mean, like that was only like 10 years ago, but literally 40 years ago. So, so she was literally still playing. That's amazing. That's amazing, isn't it? So yeah, just down the street is where, Lisa and I, and my other sister, Cheryl, we all grew up and going to, that church. And I made a decision for Christ during a middle school retreat while we were there. And then, one thing happened and then my dad died and I just decided that, me and God were not on good terms. And so he kind of ditched God for a while. And then I returned back to the Lord when I was 20. Right before my 21st birthday. So in that church, like many churches, which is, it's fine. We really didn't talk about supernatural things. We didn't really talk about things of the supernatural, right? There was great doctrine. There was good teaching and all of those stuff. I came to the Lord. I realized there was good teaching and all of those stuff. I came to the Lord. I realized my need for Christ and all of those things. But there was no real talk on the supernatural power of God. So I go to this big Bible study. And I say Bible study. It was really a church of, I don't know, several, like almost probably 500 to 700 people that was late high school age and college age people. It was amazing. And I gave my heart to the Lord, and I heard that they were doing this ministry downtown for the homeless. And I was like, well, you know, Jesus is concerned about homeless people, so I need to be concerned about homeless people, so let's go do Jesus things. And so we would go down, and every week we would go down, and me and a buddy of mine, if you remember my story, the other guy that was in the car with me when we were both drunk and made the decision to go to church. If you've heard that story before, me and that guy, we would go down every week and we would get together and we would meet in, what used to be, if you remember where it used to be the Greyhound station right across the street from the Greyhound station with a big parking lot. And, we would meet there and we would split up in groups of, 5 to 7 people. And we'd go out and we'd take sandwiches, what do you call them? Loaves of bread. I appreciate all the help. Loaves of bread. We take out all the loaves, make peanut butter jelly sandwiches and shove them back in there, you know, and carry them with us. And we would go minister and feed homeless people. We'd give them peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Awesome. And share the gospel with people. And so we would do that every week. And we would just kind of and we would get our little bags and we would go minister to people and talk to people. Well, one week, I got in this group of people, and this is how they started. Usually, it's just, God, just bless us. Everywhere we go, God, I pray you just be with us. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Great, right? These guys prayed different. A, they didn't pray in English, which was different. And B, they would pray things like, God, you know, you have a divine appointment for us tonight. And there, we believe that there's at least one person that you would have for us to go. And God, we want that one person. God, I want you to lead us to, by your Spirit, to that one person. And, you know, so I'm in here going, can we just go? There's one person everywhere. Right? So we just go. So, and then they would do this. They would go, God, I thank you, God, that you'll speak to us of where we should go. We're not going to leave until you tell us where to go. And I went, well, this could take all night. So me and myself pipe up and go, I feel the Lord says we should just go. And man, they shot me down. They're like, no, that's not God. That's not God. I was like, okay. I'm just kidding. Seems to work every other week. So we just pray, right? We're just like, and somebody goes, oh, this will date me. But they said, I feel like we should go to the Omni. That was before the Phillips Arena, which is not Phillips Arena anymore. It's State Farm Arena, right? So we're like, and so in my mind, like, yeah, okay, perfect. They're probably letting a game out. They're probably letting, like, there's probably like the game's getting let out and we're going to be right there. It's going to be perfect. Awesome. Yes, I agree. Let's go. So we're walking and we're passing everybody. We're just walking down the, and headed to the Omni, right? To the arena. We'll just say arena. We're headed towards the arena, right? And so as we get there, to my horror, there's nothing there. There's not a game. Matter of fact, there's nobody there. And I was like, maybe we should pray again, guys. And so we're like, no, God spoke to us. This is where we're supposed to be. I know this is where we're supposed to be. And so we're just going to walk. God told us to go to the Omni. We're going to go to the Omni. So we're going to walk right through. I was like, okay, we're just walking in nobody. And there was a bench. And on that bench next to the Omni, there was a couple. And so we walked up to this couple. And the wife was in tears, bawling in tears. Random, nobody else is there except this couple. Just boohooing tears. And so we walked up to her and their son had been gone for 2 nights. They didn't know where their son was. And they've been out all over Atlanta, scouring all of Atlanta, trying to find their son. And the reality of we're not going to be able to find our son was dropping in that moment. And so we were able to go over and just, if nothing else, tell them, hey, we were over praying, and usually we kind of stay in this area, but God spoke to us to go outside of that area and come over here, and God, we want you to know that God sees you, and God knows your pain, and knows your hurt, and knows your difficulties, and he sendeth all the way over here, not to fix your problem, but just to know that God sees you, and he's working in you. And we got to pray with him. We got to encourage them. We got to just love them and just to be a voice of God's love in that moment. Well, this little denominational boy is all messed up. Because, wait a minute, you can pray and God can speak to you and then God can do something like that? We're going to have a conversation on the way back. So we had started having conversations on the way back. Hearing from God is a thing. Like, it wasn't even a category for me in that time of my life. What even a category? To be led by the Spirit of God, that God could actually, not only could God be like, there in like some metaphorical there for me, but there for me and with me and work in me. Supernaturally? I'm in. So I got hungry for more. I got hungry for a life of more. It's like, you ever eat, like in your history of eating steak? You ever eat like regular steak? We'll just call it like Waffle House steak. You know what I mean? There's like Waffle House steak. And then there's these 3-inch guys that are super juicy, that they don't overcook. It's still moist on the inside. I'm making you hungry. Longhorns is going to love me this afternoon. And it's just juicy, and it's still a little pink on the inside. You know, you don't cook it to oblivion. And then you eat it, and it's just like, and we put butter on it and like all the good stuff, and it just melts in your mouth. Like, once you eat that, I'll never eat a Waffle House steak ever again. I won't. Maybe. I won't. There's something about when you touch the supernatural walk of God that changes you to the core. So as Christians, we are not destined to walk an aisle, pray a prayer, receive Jesus as our Savior, and then turn around and walk back and say, the rest of it's on you. That's not our story. The Christian story, the believer's story, is a supernatural life. It is above the natural. And I find way too many times, even in my own life, that I try to live this life of being a believer in the natural. Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 1. He says, I pray, in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. He's talking to believers. So that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the mighty work of his strength. He exercised this power by raising him from the dead and seating him at the right hand in the heavens. This power is available us for life, to do life. His mighty power is available to us in life. I'm going to read another scripture. It wasn't in my notes, so it's not going to be up on the screen. It's actually 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. He says this. He says, though we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh, since our weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. I love that. The demolition of strongholds. We demolish arguments and every proud thing that raises up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to Christ, right? He says, listen, he says, this power is not going to be out of your own ability. It's not going to be out of your own might. It's not going to be your power working in us, right? It's not going to be your power that's going to overcome and it's going to solve things and bring different things. And we'll just get to there in a minute, what those things are. But see, what happens is we get kind of lulled to sleep because of we live in the, well, David, we live in the real world. But because of that, what we do is we end up thinking like the world thinks. Living, look, just as I step on your toes, it'll be okay because we're going to land really good. We live a prayerless life, no hope, only feeding our negative, no power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. We live a place of of spiritual and financial hoarding, where our time and our money is mine, instead of living a generous life, living worldly-minded, not kingdom-minded, living a may just make it through rather than an abundant life. We live worried, not in faith, believing everything that we read except the Word of God. This is not the life of a believer. This is not the life called for us to be called as a child of God. We are called to live a powerful life. Why do we live so far beyond, below our potential? Why do we live as if God is an appendage in our life instead of our life? Why do we get so comfortable in living in the normal and the acceptable? Why is it that we have a tendency to switch on to like Christian autopilot instead of being actively involved in our faith and building our faith? I think because we've developed ruts of our thinking. You know, back in the day of the old Model Ts and the horse and carriage, I don't remember those days, by the way. But what I hear about those days is, it was interesting because if you know the Model T and the horse and buggy, you know that their wheels are like this big, right? And so what would happen is they would drive down the roads. They would create ruts. And some of those ruts were good, right? Right? Some ruts are good. You can get in a good rut, right? Because if you get out of that rut, sometimes you'll slide right off the road, right? But then there's these bad ruts that we get into. You can get in, as a Christian, you can get in just to a rut. And that rut looks like just normal. I'm just living my life. I think about God every once in a while. He's kind of a part of my life and kind of not. But let me tell you, if that's your, there is a whole nother way to live. There is a whole nother way to live. Another scripture is not in my notes. It's in Philippians. Hang on a second. He says this, help me. Where is it? Where it talks about what you think? Philippians 4, thank you. Thank you. Okay, well, we're going to go up before that. Yes. Yes, 6. No. 6. Watch this. Watch this and let's measure our own lives, okay? This is the intro to this series. So what I'm trying to do is present the problem that we have, right? And I want you to measure yourself on this scripture. In the very beginning, it says, don't worry about anything. But in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. When you pray, how many of you have ever, prayed? Boy, that's really revealing. How many of you have ever prayed, and the moment you pray, you're like, oh, I feel like things are going to happen. I feel like something's going to move. How many of y'all, that's your story. You're like, the moment you pray, this is, it's, you're, that's fulfilling the scripture, by the way. When you pray, the peace of God guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And when you've prayed, maybe you prayed about your finances. Maybe you're praying about just whatever that thing is. Maybe you're praying about your kids, money, your job. And man, you prayed and all of a sudden you felt the Holy Spirit in your prayer closet and God just gave you a peace about it. And nope, I gave that to God. God, you're working on my behalf. God causing change in that situation. In Jesus' name. And you walk out, man, you could kick down a door, but you don't because you respect your home. But you could just, you feel, you know God is working. Let's say it's finances. And then all of a sudden you get that email. It says you're late for your payment on your whatever. And I go, your good feeling gone. Right? But it's amazing, like what it says right after this. He talks about what you think on. Whatever things are true, just, of good report. Think on these things, right? So what happens is we go to our prayer closet. Man, I know God, I thank you that you heard me. I thank you, God, that you, every time I pray, God, I thank you that you hear me. I thank you, God, that you're working on my behalf. Even though I can't see it, I know that you're working. All of a sudden, then we get out into the natural world. And things start happening. And things don't look like what we think they're supposed to look like. Let me tell you something. The believer, listen, there's a place in you where you can arrest those thoughts and say, no, 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 no. God is working on my behalf in this situation. He is working. Even though I can't, that's faith, by the way. Even though I can't see it, I know he's working. I know his power is working. I prayed, and I know if God heard me when I prayed, I can believe, according to 1 John 5:4, that if I pray and I know he hears me, I'll have whatever I ask of him. And I know that God, even though the things don't seem right, even though you prayed about your kids and they still seem like they're the crazy kids they were before. But no, 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 God is working. God is greater than their heart. God is molding their hearts for your kingdom. I read the story of this lady, and she had a wayward child. And she said that she would pray for that wayward child. And she said she would get Play-Doh. She would get Play-Doh in her hands. And as she would pray for her child, she would say, God, I thank you, God. Just like I'm molding this Play-Doh. God, you're molding their hearts. In Jesus' name. God, you're working on their hearts, God. In Jesus' name, I thank you, God, that you're working. Even though I don't see it, every time I talk to him, it's not good. God, I don't care. God, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I believe. And God, I believe that you are working on their hearts in Jesus' name, changing and molding and fixing. Come on. There's another place to live. Worry shouldn't be a part of us. So, in the Old Testament, many of us know that they would take oil and they would anoint kings with the oil, right? They would kind of smear it, kind of a cool thing and weird. But they would take oil and they would anoint the king, the new king, with oil, right? If you remember the story of David, right? Samuel the prophet would come and David came before and he anointed him with oil. And so what that symbolized, and we're going to get into it a lot more next week, we talk about the Holy Spirit. What that would symbolize is God's presence and his power to be on that king to help him fulfill the duties of the king, of being a king. So it was God's presence and God's power on the king, represented by the oil, to produce, to help the king. To help the king to do a lot of things. What is the king's job? To protect the nation, right? God's going to use that king by in the symbolic deal of the God was going to help him protect the nation, to make wise decisions, to lead well, for God would help them by the power of God's presence and his spirit to help them appoint leaders, provide food, all the different things that the daily task of a king would have to do. Let me tell you something. We are called kings and priests, anointed by the Holy Spirit and his presence, to go about and to do what? To go out, yes, preach the gospel, for sure, 100%. Arguably, the number one job that we do as believers. But also, it's not limited to that. The power and presence of God is not, let me get back to my notes. But the power and presence of God is not just limited to that. It's also limited to our jobs, how we conduct ourselves on our jobs, how we relate the power of God helping us to be better spouses, helping us to be better parents, helping us in our church service, right? In our everyday life. God wants to anoint you for decisions that you make. But listen, so often, all we do is worry. So often, all we do is like, oh no, my kids are looking like they're not really following God. What am I? But then our nation is going crazy, and then our, like, all the other stuff is going on. And what do I do? And what, God, what is your, like? And we like wring our hands. You know, God has never wrung his hands. God has never wondered what he wants to do. God has never wondered about his own power to fix whatever thing is going on. He has never been up there going, oh no, Gabriel, this one's too tough. He didn't look at the Roman Empire and go, we probably shouldn't send Jesus this time. It's pretty crazy. Right? No, God said, that's the perfect time. Right in the middle of a mess. Read about the Roman Empire. Right in the middle of a mess. Let's send Jesus. See, God sees things differently. He has the power. That's when I just kind of go, like, it's too late for our nation. No, it's not. Long as there's believers, as long as there is a voice of righteousness in our nation, people who love God. Like, we've seen revival in our nation before. Rome saw revival. We can see it here. But we're limited. We're limited. Oh, no, it looks so bad. It looks so bad. People are leaving the church left and right. I don't know. Maybe God's called us to be the remnant. To be, if nobody else will stand, we will. And we'll stand up for righteousness. We'll show people who God really is. But then, like, not even like on the big scale, but in our homes. I remember, like, listen, there is power available. I remember when we would see things that we didn't like in our kids. We'll just say it really kindly. And we would, tendency is to worry, right? Remember Sarah in the Bible? When God gave her the promise, she laughed at the promise. But yet in Hebrews chapter 11, she's one of the women of faith, right? Remember that? So somewhere between her laughing at the promises of God, she changed how she thought and stepped into being the woman of faith. So it's not how you start. It's how you finish. It's not where you start. Because listen, when stuff hits you, like, I don't know a person that just doesn't automatically go, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Like, a little bit of fear grips you, right? But it's what you do with that fear. It's what you do with it. You can't just say, oh, it's just going to overwhelm me. Overwhelmed. This is it. There's no turning back. Things are bad and they're not going to get better. Right? But what we would do is Julie and I would come together and go, we don't like it. So we would grab hands and pray. We would come together as a couple. And let me just say, we didn't pray like hours together. Literally, our prayer would be about 2-3 minutes. But we would come together and believe God. And then in our own private prayer closets, separately, we are calling out to God. We are confessing the word over our children. We're speaking that over them. Right? God, you're moving on their behalf. You're changing their hearts. And we watched time and again, God move and change and do works and things. Like there is so much more than just, like we are not called. We were at a river this past week, and I was taking sticks and I was throwing it in the river and watching it kind of go down the stuff, you know, the things. Because literally when I get next to water, I become like 7 years old again. I love water. Look at that. Just spit in the water. Spitting for the fish. The fish will eat your spit. I mean, all that stuff. I literally turn into a 7-year-old. We did see this heron. This has nothing to do with my message at all, but it was the coolest thing. I just want to share it. It was sitting on the other side of this river, and this heron, like the big heron, they're like this big, and her neck is like this long. And it was just kind of doing this little thing, like nothing. And then all of a sudden it looked down into the water. This has nothing to do with my message. But this may be the only thing, hopefully it's not the only thing you remember. But it saw a fish and got it. Like it's like nature wins. I don't care how good of a fisherman you are. I don't care what you think you are. Nature wins. Like God created them with a special gifting. So, but anyway, got the fish and it was like flopping on both sides of his beak. And then like did one of those things where like magic or something, like, and it's like the fish is like that and go right down his throat. And we watched that thing, like on that skinny little neck and that big fish, we watched it go all the way down the throat. Alive. And then we're like getting to its like belly and we watch it go. That it was crazy. Like me and Julie started talking about it. I went, do you know that fish is still alive in that belly? So sticks. I was throwing sticks in the water. I was throwing the sticks in the water. And I was watching how that the sticks would just carry right down. And some of us as believers, that's what we do with our issues and our problems and our stuff. We just let the river, we let the life just carry us away. That is not what we're called to do. We're supposed to push back darkness, no matter what form it produces in our lives. Stress, worry, fear, wisdom. God is never confused. And we can tap into that. And we need to be people that tap into the power of God. One more scripture and we'll go. Psalm 61. Now I'll ask you this question before I read this scripture. I want you to focus on where does David see his strength coming from? God, hear my cry. Pay attention to my prayer. I call to you from the ends of the earth when my heart is without strength. Lead me to the rock that is high above me. For you have been a refuge for me, a strong tower in the face of my enemy. I will dwell in your tent forever and take refuge under the shelter of your wings. God, you have heard my vows, and you have given a heritage to those who fear your name. Add days to the king's life. May his years span many generations. May he sit enthroned before God forever. Appoint faithful love and truth to guard him. He's talking about himself. Then I will continually sing of your name, fulfilling my vows to you, God, day by day. He says, when my heart is without strength. Is your heart without strength this morning? Are you fearful of the things that you're facing? Are you only focusing on the stuff that's the negative in your own life? Let me tell you something. There's a power that's available to you. There's a place of faith that you can get to where your strength alone comes from him. Listen, let me just go ahead and speak this over you. Your problem is bigger than you. Your problem is bigger than you. You can't fix it. There you go. You can't fix it. Neither could David. And all of the stuff he faced. Listen, we call ourselves believers. You know why? Because that's what we do. We believe God. We trust in a name that's bigger than our own. We trust in an ability that's bigger than our own. If we could fix it, we would fix it. But we trust in God. We trust in him, his unfailing love. The Bible says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You know why that's so important? Because listen, some of you have been a Christian long enough that you have seen God move. But for some reason, this situation is too big. We need to remember what God's done for us in the past. That when I was completely broke as a Bible school student, and I was wondering how in the world I was going to pay my next month's rent. As a 23, 4-year-old guy, trying to figure out how I was going to pay my next month's rent. I guess I'm just going to be late. Go to the mailbox. Pop, and there's 3 checks in the mail from my home church, from people in my home church that God said, they said, God put you on my heart, and we wanted to send you this money for you. But God. And then when I thought that I would never meet the most amazing woman in my life, I got to meet the most amazing woman in my life. Then I got to have the most amazing kids. And then when the enemy tried to, Because I tried to screw up my marriage. By my own faults. God rescued me. He rescued me. He turned me into a different kind of person. And now, post difficulty in our marriage is better than it's ever been. We don't struggle with thinking about all the stuff that used to happen because we're different because God worked miracles in our lives and changed us. So we don't have to go back to all the pain and hurt because God's healed our hearts. And now I'm going to get worried because my daughter's getting married and I don't know how it's all going to come together. Really? Like sometimes I just look at myself, David, really? Really? Have you forgotten all the things that God's done for you? Like, oh yeah, by the way, this is like the first wedding that's ever happened. And your worry for this wedding is a lot different than everybody else's worry for their wedding. And it all happened. It all came together. It works. That God's going to work it out. Like, see how we get? We think worldly. And not just, you know, all the worldly things. We think worldly because we think lack of faith and lack of trust in our God. That when I pray, that God actually moves in my prayers and he starts changing and starts working. Kenneth Hagin used to say always like this. He says, when you pray, receive that faith and trust God in that moment, but always keep that switch of faith turned on. That when the enemy tries to come in and sort of remind you and makes you see the negative, you go, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I believe. I'm moved by the fact that God is working in that circumstance. I'm not moved by what I see. John Elger says like this, there's a way things work. There's a way things work. And I don't know why God chose it to be like this, but I'm not God. John Wesley said, it seems like God will do nothing except through prayer and trusting in him. John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church. One of my heroes. Amen. So what am I hoping for you this morning? You'd have hope again. Hope would spring back up in your heart. This is not the end of the story. Let's all stand together. Eric, you want to come on? This is not the end of the story. I tell parents all the time this. Your child's story is not in just the window that you have them. Your child's story is not just the window that you have them. So what do? I'm praying for a long life. I'm praying for a long life. I'm praying for plenty of time for God to get a hold of their heart. Amen. I'm praying for plenty of moments. I'm praying that God would send across laborers across their path. When I can't speak into my kid's life, I pray, God, that you would send somebody else to speak into their life. Parent, I want to release you of that burden. Yeah, you have to do your part, 100%. There's a part that you play. And let me just say, to those of you who you feel like you messed up, God's bigger than that. God's bigger than that. You think God's just going to go, I'm totally reliant on this one, this guy and this girl to fix their whole life. You understand? God is bigger. Bigger than that. Bigger than that. And God's long-suffering with you and me. God's working. And on your job, bow your heads, let I just say these things. I want you to, whatever connects, I want you to connect it. Maybe your provision for your life. How am I going to pay for all this? The money just doesn't seem to come in. My trust is not in my boss for my finances. Your provision is not your employer. Your provision is the Lord. I just hear, but it's totally contrary. It's totally contrary. Because of fear. Come on. Yeah, okay. Just being led, trying to be led by the Spirit here. Right where you're at, I want you to ask that situation that you're facing. That situation that you're facing. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your... Maybe it's a big decision that you have to make. Right there where you're at. Everybody, just pray this. Say, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you speak to me. I know your Spirit lives in me. So right there where you're at, I want you to ask the Lord. Don't ask the Lord to, all the answers right now. Ask the Lord this simple question. This issue and the stress and the fear that it's bringing in you. I want you to ask the Lord right now, what do you think about this? What do you think about how I feel about this? Ask him. And listen. Listen with your heart. It'll sound a lot like yourself, understand. What do you think about this, God? Is there a bigger picture that I'm not seeing? Ask this. Say, Lord, are you working in this situation? Receive whatever word that is, receive it. Receive that word. Receive it as a word from the Lord. When my heart is without strength, lead me to a rock that is high above me. Jesus. You say, God, I trust you. I trust you to speak to me. I trust you to lead me. I trust in your mercy towards me. Where I've done things wrong. I thank you, God, that you're bigger than all that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let hope arise in Jesus' name in this room. Let hope arise in Jesus' name. Let hope arise. Hope. Hope. The belief that things are going to turn around. The belief that things are going to get better. That God is working on your behalf. Even though you can't see. That God, aren't you glad that it's not all up to you? I hear that as a word from the Lord this morning. It's not all up to you. Jesus.